Global markets have been subdued for much of this week on continued uncertainty around the US-China trade war. However, there has been some glimmer of hope on the Brexit negotiations going better than previously expected, which saw the pound rally against major currencies and firm even harder against the South African rand. And just today, of course, we learned that the UK and EU have struck a new Brexit deal, which basically puts to bed the ongoing issue of the backstop between Northern Ireland and Ireland. But there is a snag. The EU Parliament and British Parliament have still yet to approve the new deal. The story is not by any measure over, but for now, things look a bit more positive. Well, to give us his take on the global market picture with particular focus on the Brexit deal, I'm joined on the line by Jamil Ahmed. He's the Global Head of Currency Strategy and Market Research at FXTM. Thanks very much for joining us, Jamil. So British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says the new deal, we've got a great new deal that takes back control. Clearly, there's been a positive response with the pound continuing on a firming trend. It has been firming in previous days, but now there's a reason to firm further.
The moves in the British pound and the sterling have been spectacular. They have been absolutely amazing, and it's very rare to see the pound move in a higher direction after coming across the past 3 years where the direction has been firmly pointed lower.
Yeah.
Actually, the volatility in the pound over the past week, it's moved over 7% from 1.22 below to as high as 1.30, very close today. So these are levels of volatilities that you don't even see in the South African rand in the most volatile day of them all. So this is how the volatility has been with the pound and how sensitive it has been to Brexit. But of course, there's still a huge obstacle ahead. Let's not forget this. On Saturday, Boris Johnson has to get his deal approved by the UK Parliament. Having a Brexit agreement for Boris Johnson is a new thing, the UK Prime Minister. However, look at his predecessor, Ms. Theresa May. She had three agreements lined up, but all three were smashed out of the park in terms of a rejection from the UK Parliament. So this is going to be by no way an easy weekend, and we could still see the sterling completely reverse that 8% move as early next week.
Indeed. So what do we understand about the crucial detail of the deal?
Well, essentially, there's been a few concessions made when it comes to the Irish backstop. This has been the real big issue that Boris Johnson was trying to change, because this was basically what did Theresa May in terms of her not getting any support. But the Northern Ireland the party actually said that they wouldn't approve this deal. They don't support this, and this came just at the same time as Boris Johnson and the EU announced ahead of the deal. And it also looks like the Labour Party in the UK, they will not support it, and it's expected that the Liberal Democrats will not support it either. So Boris Johnson, the UK Prime Minister, is very much relying on support from hardline Brexiteers and his Conservative colleagues. It isn't going to be easy. I mean, the probability is, if you believe in recent history of the past, the probability is high that this deal on Saturday will not cross over the line, irrespective of what dangerous outcome a hard Brexit can leave to the UK economy and even further afield in terms of world economy.
Exactly. So the London equity market acts much like the South African equity market. That is, when the pound weakens, it's generally good for the London FTSE and vice versa. So if this deal were to be approved and it's all hunky-dory, can we expect a bit of a sell-off on UK equities because of, well, a stronger pound?
Yeah, let's be contrarian here. Let's say that Boris Johnson gets his support this coming Saturday, and the British pound moves another 5% next week. Let's say if it was looking at levels like 1.30 earlier in trade today, let's say it moves as high as 1.35 by mid next week. This could lead to a 3-5% sell off in the FTSE 100. Where it might find some support is the FTSE 250, because British stocks and British companies would obviously be benefiting from just the fear being reduced over a no-deal, a hard Brexit. But again, this is something that we also need to point out. Just because the pound's moved 8% over the past week, based on the optimism that, you know, Boris Johnson and his EU counterparts had reached a deal, the pound's still trading only at five-month highs. It's still about 250 pips. So basically, from 1.30 to 1.33, it's still weaker than what it was on that day Theresa May anticipation reached fever pitch that she would have to resign based on her third and final Brexit deal not getting support. So it's still historically not at high levels, but based on a dismal period for the British pound, it just looks like a more optimistic headline.
Okay, well, let's park Brexit aside and see what happens on Saturday, like you say. So when you look at the trade war stuff, the US tried to allay fears at the end of last week around progress in talks. But what's your view really around those talks? Because, you know, come Monday, people were looking for the detail and they didn't seem to be very excited.
Yes, the devil in the detail was certainly wasn't there. That's the old saying, and it very much bears true here. Look, it seems that the US tone's become more positive as a sideshow because of what's the risk of the impeachment of President Donald Trump. That combat on top of what has been a horrific run of global economic data weakness in recent months, and it's everywhere. It stretches from South Korea and Singapore to hitting you guys in Africa to hit us in Europe. Even Latin America's seeing the same trends. Everybody's suffering based on the trade. It was only a few days ago the IMF said that they see growth below 3% as early as this year, if not next year. And they are not the first group to have said that. We see world growth at its lowest levels now this decade. And that brings us back to the very painful memories of the world financial crisis 10 years ago. So everybody needs a deal. And in fact, we actually need a US-China trade deal even more than we need the Brexit deal to get pushed through. That's how massive of a risk this is for us all.
Yes. So here at home in South Africa, the local currency has been hammered quite a bit, although it's come back today somewhat. And that's been, you know, despite some risk on activity in global markets yesterday. How closely are international investors looking at the Eskom story, do you think?
If you're really monitoring what's going on in domestic news flow and what's going on domestically in South Africa, then yes, they would be monitoring it. But if you're not that familiar with the South African domestic news, Eskom in this instance, then really you wouldn't be factoring that much into valuations. It's only because of my exposure and my own experience in South Africa that I'm monitoring this. Otherwise, I would look at the South African rand like I would look at any higher yield currency in these days, and I'd be worried about the RAM because of the Turkish lira risk based on what's happening with the United States and the Syria intervention in recent weeks. I'd also be concerned over some of the Latin American exposure with the likes of the Brazilian real and the Argentine peso, and I would have summoned that as to why the RAM would go through weakness, and it's going for a weaker period, not because of the Eskom situation, but of course this is a massive risk for the domestic market and the domestic economy based on the privatization of Eskom and how much the government is actually, you know, potentially impacted by this.
Yes.
I would hope that a US-China trade optimism and even the Brexit good news from today, hopefully that continues into the weekend, it should provide a good boost for the South African rand as well.
Yeah. Look, it's very difficult to talk about emerging markets because of the ebbs and flows of what's happening, you know, at a geopolitical level. But when you look at the balance of the year, the fourth quarter, how do EMs look and their currencies?
They look attractive because many believe that the dollar's at that level now where it could fall off a cliff. It made a good run for 100 if you look at the dollar index and what it did about a few weeks ago. But in recent days, the dollar index now dropping towards 96, and it looks like it could even hit 95 by the end of this month, which is very good news for the likes of the Aussie dollar, the euro. British pound is obviously reaping the benefits of other news, and the Japanese yen as well should strengthen from dollar weakness. So I would look at that and the probability that the dollar is going to continue heading lower based on the Federal Reserve interest rate expectations, when you add that into the mix and believe that the emerging markets can be optimistic for a good fourth quarter, but have to still pay very, very attention to the geopolitical front. And it's very much like walking on eggshells right now.
It is. It really is.
You never know what's happening next. If we would have had this interview yesterday and actually thought that there'd be a deal agreed between the UK and the EU, would see it as unlikely, but 24 hours later, here we are.
That's right. Jamil, thank you for your time, sir. That was Jamil Ahmed. He's the Global Head of Currency Strategy and Market Research at FXTM.